You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Sui, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
It is so important to teach kids lessons who are doing youth sports. And there is a lesson being taught in New Jersey that if you don't like the result of your game, go to court. Change the result. You're looking at me as though you don't realize that there is a big lawsuit going on right now because a high school team lost a game because a referee missed a call. It happens. This is part of life. And they went right to court to get a temporary restraining order to allow the winning team to keep playing in the finals of the state championship. Now, I will grant you, the call was wrong. That is clear. But I will not grant you that this is a lesson that is in any way possible for the courts to deal with. And they won't deal with it. And it is a waste of judicial resources. And furthermore, we are teaching kids that referees can be mishandled, manhandled, abused, and we will ignore their power. So I've been
worked up
about
this. What a terrible
example
this set. If you don't like the result, just tie it up in litigation and keep pushing and refuse to acknowledge the reality of the situation. I wonder where these kids got that from.
Yeah, where could that possibly be something that someone would decide to do? Like, why would you think that way?
So I have an idea if we're going to allow this. Can you imagine the court? So for all of the people out there thinking that somehow this game will be reversed, this is two things that people have thought. One, the winning team should have given up and said, no, that was after the buzzer. We shouldn't win.
It's not that bad. Was that bad
like the
insurance
PSA?
Commercial?
It went off me? It went off me, Coach?
It went off
me. That's exactly
that's what they're saying to do. And I'm out on that. No. Absolutely not, because things even out in the end. Two, that the judge should grant the temporary restraining order, not allow the finals to be played, and go back and replay from a random point in the high school game. Not going to happen. If the judge would ever grant this restraining order, can you imagine applying this to professional sports? What was the game? Was it the Saints who lost
the Saints
championship
against the Rams
game?
Yeah, the Rams had a defensive pass interference play that was definitely not called.
Cancel the Super Bowl. Yeah. Delay it. We're going to replay
Knicks
the game.
The Knicks challenged the game the other night. There was a call against Jalen Brunson, and he challenged a three-point shot, and it was clearly not a foul, and they called it a foul, and it didn't go well.
It's part of sports. It never feels great when you're on the opposite side of it. It should be six natties, not five for the University of Miami, but you learn to live with these results, especially the lower level that you get, the worse the officiating, and you always get to hang your hat on, we got screwed. We didn't actually get beat. It's a lot easier to accept that reality.
My biggest issue is that I can't stand, and this is from personal experience, going to Little League games and watching people approach me about the quality of their kids when their kids stink, but they think their kids are going to be professionals. It must be like kids saying that their kid's going to win an Oscar, coming up to you and saying, oh, my kid was in a commercial. It's Robert frickin' De Niro.
I've been sent a lot of scripts.
Can you imagine? Yeah. But at the end of the day, the way that umpires in Little League baseball or high school baseball get abused by parents, it sickens me. And I, were I to ever see it, which I had, I would be very loud against these parents. And I would make an issue of it because it's disgraceful. What are we saying now that when this referee made a bad call, they admitted they made the bad call, and it happens everywhere, they say, you know what, we'll let it go, but then we're going to go to court.
No, it's a terrible lesson for young people. And I think this generation, too, of young athletes and parents of young athletes, like, there aren't many sports that have an official who has just overall autonomy over the game. Well, why actually, do they even have line judges in tennis? They just put it up on the jumbotron. Oh, look, it was out. Let's keep it moving.
Some of these commissioners do in the bylaws have the authority to overturn games. It just would set like a crazy precedent. I actually remember during that NFC Championship thing, there was talk about, Goodell, take action here. There are provisions where a commissioner can actually overturn the result. Is that something that ever came up in discussions with MLB,
yeah,
David?
Yeah, we protested games for sure when we didn't like calls that were made when umpires missed calls. We would do it we would always do in a pre-protest when Angel would do a game of ours. We would just call it in and say, just watch the tape. We're going to get screwed here one way or another. And what Joe Torre would always say is, don't worry, you're both getting screwed. No. Both sides. So don't worry about that.
But you do that to try to maybe, like, I don't know, set some kind of precedent, or so the next time around they maybe give you a call.
What about something to overturn something that had happened in the distant past? There was something in the news cycle, and I know Juju is interested in this. Johnny Football came out and did a big virtue signal saying that he's going to not attend Heisman Trophy ceremonies anymore
until Reggie Bush.
The wrong has been righted with Reggie Bush getting his Heisman Trophy return, Juju.
Which was hilarious, because salute to you, brother Johnny Manziel, but you are one of the wrongest people to be pushing this effort, you dig?
He said it didn't agree with his morals.
Right. Salute. We love you, Jen. Look, you got to clean it up some kind of way, so we love you for doing this, but we need more support on that, because it's a lot of stuff that don't make sense. It's like if I got locked up for selling weed in about 2003, and now weed become legal in my state. Hey, judge, can we talk about this? You know what I mean? Like, if I'm here for years on years on years. So I commend Johnny for standing up for Reggie, but I don't know if he needs more support around that issue, and I'm here to support him.
Well, you remember the three strikes. Do you remember what three strikes was?
Nah, put me on game.
So three strikes under Clinton?
Yeah, three strikes. You're talking about the marijuana.
Oh, you're talking about weed for anything. Yeah. I'm back to weed.
Yeah, I understand Reggie Bush only had like one strike.
I don't know what his strike was, but
he got a house. He got...
It was payments. NIL money before there was NIL.
Right, and now we have the ability to make money off of your name, image, and likeness.
It would be the equivalent of Andre Dawson begrudging a player today, or Don Mattingly begrudging a shitty player for making a ton of money. They all make more money than those guys did in their career, and those are Hall of Famers. That's just how life goes. I'm not sure what wrong Johnny is trying to right.
There was a name, image, and likeness story that I found fascinating, and Lucy, I want to bring you in on this because it involved Caitlin Clark. I saw the ratings for women's college basketball on Fox. Keep in mind they have different contracts with different conferences, but the women's basketball ratings are better on Fox family of networks than they are for men's college basketball. And the numbers were so good involving Iowa that I read that Fox execs had actually considered presenting an NIL package to Caitlin Clark to keep her in the sport, to keep those ratings up. Lucy, what was your takeaway from that story?
I wish they had offered her earlier. the reason this fell apart is they did not get the offer to her on time. And honestly, that's something worth considering, because her ratings are absolutely insane. I believe Iowa has 7 of the most watched women's college basketball games of all time now because of Caitlin. She had already made her decision to go to the Fever, to leave Iowa. David, that's what I would have used your credit card number for, to get Caitlin an extra.
You think that would have gotten it done?
Yes.
You think that Fox giving her more NIL money would have kept her at Iowa for a fifth year because of COVID eligibility?
Not no actually. Chance. I think she was always going to leave, but I think it would have been enough to potentially sway her one way or another. Like, I felt the entire season that Caitlin was going to leave. She's pretty much accomplished everything you can accomplish at Iowa, except for winning a national championship, and that's going to happen this year. The way that... I didn't even realize this till just now, but Caitlin's deal with Nike is expiring at the end of the year. A lot of her deals are expiring. So she's about to come into even more money than she had before. So like a Fox deal probably wouldn't have made that much of a difference because she just had Gainbridge. She's on State Farm commercials every game you watch. That girl has no problem in the financial department. I just really wanted her to stay for me personally, and she didn't even think about me in her decision at all.
Don't hate me for this, but I cannot say that someone's accomplished everything that they can accomplish when they don't have the ring.
I literally said
it's
that.
It's the only
David.
Thing. But
David,
what has
did
she
you
accomplished?
Not
no,
to
I heard.
It's way tougher in the college game.
Yeah, but that,
what has she accomplished when you haven't done that?
The all-time championship scoring record?
That's pretty great.
For women?
Amazing ratings.
Pretty great.
But
for all
isn't
players?
Bringing your team a championship the one thing you get judged on?
Well, she has brought championships, not the top championship.
It's not the one thing you get judged on, especially in college basketball.
College is so difficult to win a championship in. She's competing against 200-plus other teams. Also, Caitlin could have easily gone to a school like UConn, Notre Dame, South Carolina, and she'd have probably two or three national championships at this point. But instead, she decided, I'm the hometown girl. I'm going to Iowa, a school that is a good women's basketball program but doesn't have the traditional success of these other schools. And she brought them to the national championship game last year, and she's going to do it again this year.
Do you think if Vegas had the first pick, she would have stayed at Iowa? Do you think that Indiana having the first pick was a factor in her turning pro?
I mean, absolutely. She knows where she's going to go. Caitlin is going to team up with Aaliyah Boston. They are going to be one of the craziest duos in the WNBA. Caitlin was going to have success wherever she went. I don't really think it mattered a ton that it was Indiana, but I think that's a good fit for her. I don't think it has anything to do with location the way people are saying, because Indianapolis is not as close to Iowa as people think it is. Caitlin was always going to go to the next level. She was always going to succeed. I just really wish that she had thought about how this affected me.
I think she got ties in Indiana right now. She got some ties in Indiana behind the scenes. So salute.
I don't think the Fever having the number one pick impacted her decision to go pro. I do think a conversation with a major network like Fox around coming back for another year and having some financial stake in the ratings, that's a transformative deal. That's a different kind of deal. We've never had an athlete do anything like that. So just those conversations alone happening, I think, is incredible for her and would have maybe had her think about, oh, I could stick around for another year and do something nobody's ever done before.
I know.
Well, it's a whole new world now where networks are actually considering name, image, and likeness, where their rights actually filter down to the players in some sort of way. My mind was kind of blown by that. And it's actually pretty forward thinking from Fox. Like, we have a draw here. We can actually keep them.
How many draws are there?
Well, she is certifiably one of the greatest draws in the history of sports when you consider where the ratings were before she came along.
There was a baseball player, the only baseball player of my career that drew anything extra. Dontrell Willis.
D-Train and Jose Fernandez.
And Jose Fernandez. Two in 18 years. Basketball, LeBron.
Regionally, in baseball, it happens. Like the summer Yasiel Puig came to the Dodgers and they went 42-8. He took over the city and it changed the Dodgers. They have been dynamic since.
Valenzuela back in the day.
There are examples, but it is rare. But what Clark did, what was fascinating to me, and the reason why I loved watching
Manny
her,
Wood, he said.
Manny Ramirez. Manny Ramirez do that? Yeah. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it is a huge market, and the Dodgers are a legacy franchise, but there are players that have gone to that franchise and have been needle movers from attendance and viewership alike.
It's hard to justify, though, millions of dollars. Needle movers really do not generate that amount of money. So for Fox to get in there, you have to be a ratings mover.
Which she
and
is.
She is. She literally is.
She is.
The players we talked about are not. She is. Yeah. Fox could have done this for her, and I don't think it would have opened up a sea of these deals because there's so few Caitlin Clarks.
I'm super excited to see what she's going to do in the WNBA because I do think she's pretty much accomplished everything. And to ask for a title, I think Lucy dismissed you quite easily with she could have been with one of these glory hunting programs over there. I'm super excited to see how she can elevate the pro game, especially when you have the Aces selling out their tickets. It feels like a real inflection point for women's sports. And that is how you do International Women's Day. Yeah.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Le Batard.
Listen, it could be Julius Randle's building.
How about that?
The Mecca.
Ours, Julius.
The Mecca.
Spugatz.
Steve Martin was a prop comic.
You said that?
I said it 2 seconds earlier than you.
This is the Don Le Batard Show with the Spugatz.
I woke up this morning with my back hurting. I've got some shoulder issues. I am showing my age in my body while I am training for the London Marathon next month. And I was trying to envision Mike.
Look at me, Louie.
That's no, I no, there's no way. That's not a look at me, Louie. He's just doing something. That.
He shoehorned it.
Oh, that had to be from the flight, right? Come on.
That was me introducing how I'm envisioning Mike Tyson at 58 waking up after one of his workouts to get ready to fight Jake Paul, and they dropped a look at me, Louie.
It feels like you could have just gotten into the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul story without volunteering.
I think it was the internationalness of the marathon. Had it been a domestic marathon,
it's a humble brag.
Maybe you move past it, but it's a London marathon.
Tie goes to the runner. You're safe, okay. David.
Thank you. Thank you, Juju.
Have you seen his shorts?
He's out. Dave, I have a question before we get into Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. I was explaining to my wife that you did a 777, and she, for those of you in the audience that don't understand what that is, it's seven marathons in 7 days in seven continents.
True.
And she was like, no, that's not true. And I'm like, no, it's true. I know David, like he's got the 777 like on the placard of like,
tattoo, the whole
yeah,
thing.
Like he's done it. Can you explain like how difficult and how terrible that was?
So, Lucy, your reaction.
She has no idea.
This is before you joined MetalArk. This was to raise a lot of. I'll do a look at me, Louie, but raised over $1 million for charity.
Contextually, you're covered.
Yeah.
Thank you.
See, it's not hard to follow the
there's
rules.
There's only 200 people in the world who have ever done this. Still covered?
Contextually, you're covered.
You
were asked about it. You're answering a direct question.
You fly to Cape Town, South Africa, and you wait for the ability to go to a Russian substation in Antarctica. And it is called the Novo substation, and there's no women there. There's only Russians.
Can't
there
talk about it today, then.
No, but this is fascinating because our group had two former players from Survivor, Sarah Lucina and Michaela Wingle, and they went to Antarctica and were with these people who had been put in Siberia by Putin and had not seen a woman in months. We went to Antarctica, ran a marathon, get back on a plane, go back to South Africa, run a marathon the next day, then you get on a plane and go to Dubai and run a marathon, Perth, Australia, run a marathon. These are consecutive days. Then Lisbon, consecutive days. Then Cartagena, Colombia on the sixth day. And we ended right here in Miami. And Le Batard on the seventh marathon. Le Batard came to watch the seventh marathon. He was smoking a cigar while we were starting to run our seventh marathon in 7 days, and he was standing right in the path of the runners holding a big cigar. And we were trying to, no, people didn't really know who he was because people were exhausted, and I stopped to talk to him for a few minutes. But I will never forget, one of my lasting memories from 777 is Dan's cigar. Right here, we ran it right on Miami Beach, right in front of on the boardwalk is where the route was.
And what does this have to do with Mike Tyson again?
So, I love where your head is. Mike Tyson, I woke up feeling hurt. Yo. Sore. Mike Tyson's 58 years old. He's going to get into a boxing ring with Jake Paul. Dan said it's going to last 15 seconds. Mike is going to kick his ass. And I was thinking about Dan's age and my age. You can't get in a ring when you're 58 years old.
Bro, you can't get in a ring with them little bikini drawers you got on, bro. You need to put some pants on them before you box your homeboys, man.
Yeah.
Look, haven't we gotten over calling out people in sports for being too old for stuff? I feel like that's done, that narrative. Someone's too old to win a Super Bowl, too old to win a national title.
He's 58.
So what? He's fighting a Jake Paul.
Like, yeah, Jake Paul, though, has been training professionally. And I get this video that Mike Tyson, I wouldn't get in the ring with Mike Tyson.
Jake Paul's been training professionally is your defense to he's Mike Tyson?
I'm saying that Mike is going to wake up the day after fighting Jake Paul and feel worse than I feel now. And I want to know the money. I talked about this on Today's Nothing Personal. I want to know the money. It hasn't been reported anywhere. What are they getting paid? Jake is producing it. And he's got a successful production company, but I want to know what the purse is. I don't care if it's sanctioned. I want to know what you'd have to pay me to get into a ring.
Purse hasn't been announced yet. You're figuring it's going to be in the millions, based on not only gate, because it's going to be done at Jerry World. It's going to be 100,000 people there. They're saying that it's not going to be pay-per-view, right? It's going to be on Netflix.
No, it's Netflix.
Right. So I'm wondering how big the bag Netflix was that they gave them and said, all right, you guys divvy up how you want $40 million, $80 million. Like, who knows? Because this is now bringing live sports. I know they've done it before with golf and stuff, but this is bringing now combat sports to Netflix, which is a completely different animal in the pay-per-view kind of industry that fighting sports lives in.
So I led Nothing Personal with this morning because Netflix low-key is trying to screw everybody. They're trying to get live sports without paying rights fees.
But they're creating their own new live sports. I disagree on that. They're not just trying to compete and get the rights to regular NBA or WNBA games. They're doing these hybrid events. They're creating events. They're almost like stunts.
I mean, you can lump in Monday Night Raw from the WWE as a live rights deal. It's a $5 billion deal for cable televisions, I guess, outside of Monday Night Football, most valuable property.
I don't view that as as a major sports deal.
I understand.
That's
but
a content okay, deal for me.
Fair enough, but it is a live rights deal in that it is live weekly episodic.
But what Netflix, it's episodic. I mean, they have a bunch of shows like that. It's just a matter of what they did is they put on this F1 golf match.
Yeah,
they just put on
the tennis slam thing.
With Nadal losing to Alcaraz. Who watched that? Anybody? Anybody notice that?
Yep.
You did? Who won in how many sets, Juju?
I'll get back with you.
I didn't really see the draw for Alcaraz versus Nadal when they've actually faced each other in competitive matches, and this is just an exhibition. I've seen those on ESPN2 at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Skipper specials.
Wondering what the draw is for this. I understand things like the match and stuff like that being a draw, but you're saying they're kind of carving out these new events in sports that do have rights deals when they're inside the non-exhibition realm.
That's the business part of this. They're going to a whole new area with Tyson against Paul. I differentiate this from Nadal and Alcaraz.
But what do we know about this fight? We don't know the purses. I know when Mayweather and Logan Paul got together, it was actually touted as an exhibition. Is that what this is going to be? Or is this going to be a competitive fight that counts for their pro
record? They're waiting to see whether it'll get sanctioned. My view is that it will not get sanctioned, nor should it get sanctioned. And I don't think one person will give an absolute rat's ass whether it's sanctioned.
No, we're watching either way.
Right.
I think this is the ultimate curiosity, which is can a young man that's kind of proven himself and taken it seriously, but he's still ultimately known for what he does on YouTube, can he get in the ring with one of the most feared heavyweights of all time, even though the heavyweight is 58 years old right now? This is probably a conversation that has happened in barbershops and sports bars all across America, wondering what will happen. I think the whole circus-like atmosphere to this is such a draw.
Here's what I thought the conversation was, and I was speaking into the abyss during Nothing Personal this morning, so I'm so happy to speak to all of you. How many times have you had the conversation, what would it take for you to get in the ring with Mike Tyson? Would you do it for $1 million? Hell yeah, I'd get in there and take a punch. And my answer always was, because I was always small, is there's no amount of money because I'd be dead. One punch from Mike Tyson, forget, it's like Jeremy and I would be in the hospital and then dead. So
thanks for lumping me in with you, David.
Well, Jeremy,
it's accurate, but I was just sitting here doing my work. I, you know, just get brought into that one. Thanks.
Happy International Women's Day.
So my answer is zero. No,
it doesn't have the air of sadness that some of these other types of like stunt boxing events.
It's a genuine curiosity in more ways than Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather ever was, because Jake Paul has spent several years building up some credibility. And it's Mike Tyson. It's someone that is a true, legit heavyweight that still goes occasionally viral with these workout videos that has crazy speed on and power on those punches still.
I think that's the difference, though, Mike. You said it. It's Mike Tyson, right? Yeah. Floyd Mayweather was never the boxer that was going to knock you out. He's a defensive boxer. He was the guy that was going to pick his spots, counterpunch you. And Logan Paul was going to just kind of spar with him. This is Mike Tyson, who has a runway to get ready for the next couple of months here. I know a year ago he was walking with a cane, right? Let's yes, be honest about that, because we're playing the videos of him hitting the bags and stuff, but he was walking with a cane like 6 months ago. You have that, getting the runway of, let me get my body back into shape, let me get my mentality back in, and one punch could knock him out.
And if it's not sanctioned, what is flowing through that body?
The juice.
Is there any other video of Mike Tyson boxing besides one of these little draws?
There is. There's one with red. He's got red draws on the other one.
Oh.
My view is that Mike Tyson will go longer than you think, because Netflix is going to want some juice. So it's not going to be what Dan said.
Oh, they're getting juice.
There's going to be plenty of juice. It's not going to be a 15-second fight. Didn't Dan say that? He spent all this time saying it'll go 15 seconds.
There's no bad scenario in the result. None. Yeah.
I just don't want to do it.
Score major comfort with the new Hanes Originals Super Soft Styles. Imagine this. Fabric so soft, it feels like you're practically wearing nothing. Now that's next level softness. Whether you're storming the court, conquering the workday, or just chilling on the couch, Hanes Originals Super Soft Styles have you covered, literally, in soft, cooling comfort. And let's not forget the style. These sleek designs and colors won't just keep you feeling great, they'll have you looking like a champion. So ditch the discomfort and upgrade your game with the new Hanes Originals Super Soft Styles. They're soft, they're cooling, they're everything. Try Hanes' softest fabric ever at hanes.com/originals. Use discount code DANLB20.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Don Lebatard.
God doesn't even know what this list is.
He was ahead of Tom Brady, who also won a playoff game.
A couple, yeah.
That was literally the most confusing list we've ever done.
But Tebow's got a better shot of coming back.
Give him a chance. He's got more lists.
I'm mad. I'm angry.
I want to leave.
Stugatz.
This would have been your day. This should be. You should own the sports media landscape right now.
I am. Top seven guys. I would not want the Jets.
No. You.
No.
No, I'm not allowing it.
Give him a chance, guys.
No, I'm not giving him a chance. I'm giving him 20 years.
Carson, what?
I've given him my prime.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
One week winding down. Another reminder, youtube.com/@LebatardShow to watch Ben Lyons, to watch David Samson, to watch Adnan Burke, who's presently working for MLB Network. He's making the drive down from Clearwater. I'm sure he's surrounded by all of his favorite types of people in Clearwater, given his thoughts on Scientology. We can't wait to see him this weekend. We're going to be doing the live Oscars watch-along live from the stained carpet here, emanating from about as geographically far from the Oscars as you can probably get inside this country. But we're going to make it fun. A lot of Metal Arc luminaries in attendance. Some people dressing up for the occasion. Maybe Lucy, maybe not, depending on what Caitlin Clark and I would do. But we're going to have a lot of fun, and it's our first stab at it. And this is a true second screen experience. Maybe some of you haven't watched the movies. Well, that's what Ben, Anna, and David and company are here to do for you. And you just have us watching along as you are on the main broadcast, and we're going to have a lot of fun with it. To close out our week, we're going to do what we always do later on in the show. That means a club. But right now, it means a polls recap. Juju, if you have the polls, make sure you pull them up and know that the polls are presented by the new season of the Peacock original, The Traitor, streaming now with new episodes Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on Peacock. Take it away, Juju.
Yes, sir. I love The Traitors. It's such a great show. Poll number one, an important one. Who is the biggest traitor of all time? Lucifer?
Wow.
Judas?
Wow.
Or Chris Whittingham? And out of 8,158 votes, 79% say Chris Whittingham. The fancy lad. Sorry, brother. Wherever you are, we love you.
No. No, we don't. This is just a revolting video.
Right, and his hair did not move in a centimeter.
God, those seats stink.
God, that song just brings me such joy.
Club level at MSG, the Mecca.
So much,
the Mecca.
So much joy when you hear that song, huh?
Poll number two. Which is worse, a person who doesn't care if you like them at all, or a person who tries too hard to get you to like them? 86% says a try too hard is worse off. Yeah.
Which one are you, David?
I'm the former.
I know what the former is. Tony doesn't. Poll number three. Who is the most beloved athlete in Philadelphia history? Out of 7,580 votes, Dr. J, Allen Iverson, Jason Kelce, or Rocky Balboa? The answer was Rocky Balboa.
I can't believe we didn't have Chase Utley on that list.
Yeah. For me. Chase Utley would not have beaten Rocky Balboa.
Oh, my God. He was so beloved.
Fictional character. That's kind of sad. That's pretty sad for a sports town, especially one with the reputation of Philadelphia.
Yeah, very sad. Fly Eagles fly. A poll number, whatever this one is King's Hawaiian bread the greatest bread of all time?
No. It's pretty good. No, it's absolutely
5,322 votes. 55% say yes, it is the greatest bread of all time. The goat bread. King's Hawaiians, ladies and gentlemen.
No challenge. Challenge. Challenge.
Mahalo.
Three breads better than that.
L'chaim.
Get poll, 10 votes for that.
The next poll. If you know how to bake, do you know how to cook?
No. No.
No. 71% of the audience says no. You guys are right.
I don't know how to bake. You know,
great job on all these polls.
I know how to get baked.
Absolutely. And then, hello, brother. The last poll. And remember, these are brought to you by The Trader U.S. Right. You're a great, fantastic show. I suggest you watch it today. Are McDonald's fries the greatest French fries of all time? 6,835 votes say yes, they are. 53% of the crowd agrees. Wow. Back to you, David. Remember to watch The Traders US every single day of your life.
Wow.
That's a lot of days.
That's a lot of traders.
That's a lot of traders. I wonder whether or not Russell Wilson has time to catch up on his TV as he is going on this tour, which is so offensive to me that I can hardly focus, that he is going around as a released player, an overpaid stiff, and he's choosing his next team, flirting with the Giants, flirting with the Steelers. I would like Russell Wilson to be banished. So that he can't play anywhere.
Come on, dude.
You gotta put some respect on
I'm not putting one ounce of respect on this because in his goodbye, which I know you all looked at, that long tweet when he said goodbye.
Didn't read it. Too long, didn't read it.
You didn't read it?
No, it was too long.
It was too long.
I knew he was going to cut. Like, happy for you or sad that happened. Yeah.
Even though he tweeted anything. The best part was I was happy that he thanked God at the end. No problem. I'm all in for the religion. But he went through the list of all the other people he thanked, including specific players, like his running backs, his wide receivers, the guys in the kitchen, the guys in the video room, everybody.
He's a man of the people, Russ.
No mention of the people who gave him the money.
Are they no longer there?
Does it?
Because or they're not paying them.
What does that have to do with it?
Well, I mean, why thank an administration that
the
was
GM's
there
the
for
same?
Like 3 weeks?
The GM's the same.
Okay. So, all right. I understand why you're looking at it this way.
He thanked. First of all, it was outrageous, the size of the thank you.
But there are also the people that fired him.
They didn't. Oh, no. Fired him.
Yeah, I mean, I know he got a nice little golden parachute on the way out, but right, yeah, he lost his job.
Season. Remember during the season, they said, hey, we want you to come off the bench and we want you to lose. I forgot the details.
They didn't want to even play him because if he got hurt, it fully guaranteed the deal.
Right.
It was, smart move.
Why would you thank them?
He was insulted by it, though. You can understand why he was insulted by it.
But then ask for more guaranteed money up front. He got an extension that he in no way should have gotten. That contract. Are you going to say that the Russell Wilson contract with the Broncos doesn't rival the Ben Simmons contract as some of the worst contracts of all time?
No, I don't think anyone's making that argument. I'm just applying logic to what you wondered aloud, which is why didn't he thank the people that gave him this contract? Because, I mean, the administration, while he got a big contract from the Broncos, they also told him, you know, sit and rot on the bench. We don't even want to risk you getting hurt because that means we have to pay you more. This contract is so bad. Take a hike and leave. I mean, I can understand why someone feels some type of way about that.
Well, I found it to be offensive. And now the question is, all these teams are all excited to get him. You think he's an upgrade over Daniel Jones?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, and we don't know what Daniel Jones
name
is. Like. No.
People are obsessed with
I think it's kind of
name.
Flat. I think it's kind of flat between the two, but Daniel Jones will have a much higher cap number.
Much higher cap number, and we don't know what he's going to look like after he comes back from a season-ending injury.
Actually, let me walk that back. I feel pretty strongly that Daniel Jones is better at this point in his career than Russell Wilson, but when you apply the logic of the cap number, guys, keep in mind what they had to do to make Russell Wilson playable, which is, I think he was also a willing participant in this. He played ultra-conservative. They were a really painful watch. For him to get to his numbers to a place now where you look at the box score and say, hey, he wasn't that bad compared to the previous year, there was no nuts to that offense. Vanilla offense, no nuts.
Do you know that with all the dead cap money they have, that it's actually an advantage to some owners to have dead cap money because you don't have, it counts towards your salary cap, but it's not cash. So actually you are spending to the cap, but it's not a cash expenditure. And so all the criticisms that we make of all the big dead cap money, there's some teams that search for dead cap money because it's not money you're paying to a player. It's money that you're not actually paying to anybody. People don't talk about that.
No, but that seems like a pretty losing philosophy if that's what you're playing
for. But if your team
is not good.
It's
a way to kind of
good.
Keep things afloat, but it's not necessarily a way to build towards
But if you're rebuilding.
Yeah, so it actually does have a monetary value to it in that it
big
counts
time.
Against a – it's a league that legislates equality with a salary cap, but you're actually, in some cases, not even spending beyond a cap floor because you have this dead cap out there.
And so that's the thing that – that would be a rule that you could change if you're the union where dead cap would not actually count. It's cash payroll that you have to have the floor and the ceiling, but the league does not do that.
Do you think he ends up somewhere? And if he ends up somewhere, will he be assuming that he's the starter, you think?
Yes, according to where he goes. I think that it's a couple of teams that could benefit from him, like the Steelers. I think the Giants as well because of his numbers. Like, you pay him $2 million versus paying Tua Tagovailoa 55 in some situations.
Or Daniel Jones $40 million.
A second one of these takes? I thought, now.
He got a lot of people to pay in Miami.
Juju got
$5. You want to pay Tyreek. You want to pay all these people. And I'm not saying that Russell Wilson is the same as he used to be, but I think that there's still something to say about him because that Denver Broncos offensive line, offense in total, it was not a fair assessment of his actual game to me.
So you want the Dolphins to get rid of Tua. Don't re-sign him and they bring in Russell Wilson at $1.21 million.
I'm not saying I want these. I'm just giving you things to ponder like my brother Tony.
That's why I put it in the folder. Yeah. Ponder
he's not telling you what to think. He's just asking,
if you want to. You know what I mean?
Here's what I think. Russell Wilson will get a job and he shouldn't because he's not good enough to be a starting quarterback.
They can't even get Justin Fields a starting quarterback.
Pittsburgh makes a lot of sense.
Then why is he stopping in New York on the way to Pittsburgh?
I don't know.
Because he's a nice
leverage, baby.
He's married to Ciara.
You know that, Dave. Leverage.
There's no leverage.
Wait to see, David.
He's making the max.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication
covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.